ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். தஸ்மாத்வா ஏதஸ்மாத் விஜ்ஞானமயாத் அன்யோந்தர ஆத்மானந்தமயஹ தேனைஷ பூர்ணஹ சவாயேஷ புருஷவித ஏவ தஸ்ய புருஷவிததாம் அன்வயம் புருஷவித தஸ்ய பிரியமேவ சிரஹ மோதோ தக்ஷிண பக்ஷ பிரமோத உத்தர பக்ஷ ஆனந்த ஆத்மா ப்ரஹ்மபுச்சம் பிரதிஷ்டா ததப்யேஷ ஸ்லோகோ பவதி அசன்னேவ ச பவதி அசத் ப்ரஹ்மேதி வேத சேத் அஸ்தி ப்ரஹ்மேதி சேத் வேத சந்தமேனம் ததோ விதுரிதி தஸ்யைஷ ஏவ சரீர ஆத்மா யஃ பூர்வஸ்ய. In the last webinar, we discussed elaborately the Anandamaya Prakaranam, in which the Upanishad revealed the Mukhya Atma or the Ananda Atma, and also the Aikyam with Brahman was also pointed out. For what purpose the Upanishad introduced Brahman? So that purpose was accomplished. That is when we started this chapter, the first sentence we said, Brahmavid Apunoti Param. So that Brahma Jnanam, that has been also revealed. Now the student comes with some questions based on the teaching itself, which is called Anuprashna. Anuprashna, it means a question based on the teaching. For example, someone gives a talk on a certain topic. If there are questions based on that topic, they are called Anuprashna. But if there are just questions, not based on any given topic or whatever, general questions among people, that is called Prashna. This is called Anuprashna. And this Anuprashna Vakyam, that is what we are going to read today and try to understand how this is structured in terms of furthering the understanding of Atma or Brahman. We'll read. Athato nu prashnaha uta vidvanamum lokam pretya kaschana gacchati ஆஹோ வித்வானமும் லோகம் பிரேத்ய கஷ்சித் சமஸ்னுதா. Here when I elongated the recitation, கஷ்சன கச்சதி, actually people who have the text with them, they can find that there is a number 3 written next to கச்சதி. This is called Plutam in Sanskrit. That is, a vowel is lengthened more than 2 matra duration. That is called a Plutam. If the length is 1 matra duration, it is called a short vowel called Hraswa. If it is 2 matra duration, it is called a long vowel, a Dirgha. And when the vowel has got 3 or more matras, it is called Pluta. Or Pluta. So, for example, to write a short vowel, we just write the letter as is. And when it is a long vowel, then we put a line or some other symbol to mark it is a long vowel. But when it is 3 or more long, then we cannot be going on putting these marks. So, for that, they normally adopt the convention of putting the numbers 3, 4, 5, etc. next to that letter to indicate that it is Pluta. So according to again Sanskrit grammar, the Plutam itself will have different meaning depending on the different contexts. Sometimes the plutha may indicate samshaya, means doubt. Sometimes it might indicate prashnaha, a question. Sometimes it might indicate a conjunction. So depending on the context, the plutha may indicate different significance, different meanings. And in this context, the plutham indicates prashnaha, that is a question. So atha, ataha, anuprashnaha. Atha, atha means the first atha. After the teaching is over, after the entire discussion has been completed, after Brahman has been revealed as Ananda Atma in the Ananda Prakaranam, Anandamaya Prakaranam, in the ataha, the next ataha, since the student has got certain doubts, here afterwards or now follows anuprashnaha. Anuprashnaha, the questions of the student, they follow. That is what is indicated. Ataha, ata, anuprashnaha. And what is the basis for this question by the student? The student actually is a well-informed student. He is an Upanishadic student. And the Upanishad itself said that Brahman is Jagat Karanam. The cause for this universe is Brahman. And all the Jivarasis, the animate and inanimate, all kinds of things, they are all born out of Brahman. And so we can call all of them as Brahma Karyam. Brahman is Karanam. These are all Brahma Karyam, the effect. Whether it is a plant, whether it is animal, whether it is a human, devas, asuras, whomsoever they are all born out of Brahma. Because Upanishad itself, they declared it earlier. Prithivya Oshadayaha Oshadi Bhyonam Annat Purushaha. So we went through this entire discussion earlier. So right from Akasha, Vayu, Agnihi, Apaha, Prithivi, all those things and all the Jivarasis, they all are born out of Brahman only. So right from Akasha, that is how the Srishti has happened. Now the student's contention is, if everyone is born out of Brahman, if all Jivarasis, everyone is born out of Brahman, then at the end of creation, when Pralaya comes, everything should resolve into Brahman also. So whatever has been created out of Brahman, they also have to resolve back into Brahman only at the end of creation, at the time of Pralaya. Because Karyam will always get dissolved into the Karanam. Right? The Karyam need not take any special effort to get dissolved. It will automatically dissolve. For example, if you take an ornament, which is a Karyam, it doesn't make any special effort for that to merge into gold, which is the Karanam. It is automatic. Similarly, for example, all the trees, when they perish, they will all resolve back into earth, because earth is the Karanam. So Karyam Sarvada Karane Eva Liyate. All Karyams, all effect, all the time, they will merge, finally resolve into the Karanam only. This is the law. So the now student, he keeps in mind this law and he is asking the teacher, the Upanishad, the question, O teacher, will a wise man, a jnani, resolve into Brahman? Will an ignorant man, an ajnani, will he also resolve into Brahman? Will they both resolve into Brahman? That is his question. That is a very intelligent question. For example, if the teacher says, both wise and ignorant people, they all will resolve into Brahman only ultimately, since both are Brahma Karyam only, because that is the teaching. Both are supposed to be effect because of Brahman. So both being Brahma Karyam, if he says both of them will ultimately resolve into Brahman, then all people, regardless of their wisdom or ignorance, they will all resolve into Brahman. If that is what the teacher contends, then what will happen? The student will say, why should I at all go through the struggle of getting this wisdom? There is no need for me to go to get all the sadhana, chatushtaya, sampattihi, and the shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, all those things I don't have to do. Because both wise people and ignorant people will finally resolve into the Lord only. So all this shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam and all, what is the need for any of those things? So we came from the Lord, we will merge back into the Lord. why any sadhana at all? That is the question the student will have. So to avoid this problem, let us say, if the teacher says, no, only the wise people alone will merge into the Lord, then what will happen at that time? The problem will be, only those who merge into Brahman will be Brahmakarya. Correct? Because only those merge into Brahman alone will be Brahmakarya, are born out of Brahman. And the others are not Brahmakarya. That's what it will imply. For example, pot will not merge into gold. Pot will merge into clay only. Pot cannot merge into gold because it is not born out of gold. Similarly, if we say that ignorant people, ajnanis, if they will not merge into Brahman, it will mean that the ignorant people are not born out of Brahman. They are not Brahmakaryam at all. So both ways, it will be a problem. If the teacher says wise men alone will merge, ignorant won't merge, or if he says both of them will merge, there will be a problem. So that is going to be the question. So the question is, Utha avidvan kaschana pretya amum lokam gachati. Kaschana avidvan, any ignorant person. Avidvan means any ignorant person. Amum lokam. Amum lokam means literally that world. Amum lokam is that world. Here it is not that world. Here it is Brahman. We have to carefully note this meaning. It is not Swarga Loka or Satya Loka or any other Punya Lokas. It is just only Amum Lokam here means Brahman. How can Loka would mean Brahman? That is a question we can ask. Because Amum Lokam, the word Loka, we know Loka is world. How Amum Lokam, Loka would mean Brahman? Then we have to only look for a different derivation for the word Loka. The word Loka itself will have different meanings again, in different contexts. Again, everywhere we need the assistance of the commentators to understand various words in the Upanishads. When we say Loka as world, when we give that meaning, the derivation is Lokete Anubhuyate Iti Lokaha. Lokete Anubhuyate Iti Lokaha. That which is experienced is Loka. Anubhuyate means experienced. That the meaning is actually the field of experience for anybody. The field of experience, Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Suvarloka, Maharloka, all these various worlds, they all signify the various fields of experience. And then we can take another derivation also for the word Loka. Lokyate anena sarvam iti. So that because of which everything is experienced. So earlier it was Lokyate anubhuyate iti Lokaha. Here it is Lokete Anena Sarvamithi. That is Lokaha, that by which everything is experienced. And what is that Loka then? Chaitanyam only. Because of Chaitanyam only, everything can go through anything. Anybody and everything can go through any experience or anything for that matter. It is Chaitanyam only. That is the basis. So because of Chaitanyam only, we experience everything. So Tameva Bantam Anubhati Sarvam. As Upanishad said. So the first meaning of Loka is the object of experience, and the second meaning is the very consciousness, the very Chaitanyam itself. And here Amum Lokam refers to the Brahma Chaitanyam and not any Loka, any world. So Kaschana Avidvan Amum Lokam Gachati. Any ignorant person will go to that Brahman when Pretya. Pretya means Marana Anantara, Mrutva, after death. So after death, any ignorant person will go to that Brahman. Because Marana means dissolution. Dissolution or dissolution is Marana. So when we all die, will we all go to the Lord or not? That will be the question. In fact, whenever someone dies, what normally they write? They make an announcement in the newspaper and all obituary. They make it, what do they write there? So and so reached Paramapadam. Or they have reached Shivaloka Prapti. That's what we always write. At least in the announcement, one can say that they reached Paramapadam, perhaps. So if that is the case, why at all somebody has to go through all this sadhana if they are all assured to go to Paramapadam or Shivaloka Prapti or whatever it is, right? So we are all going to get Paramapadam anyway. Why go through the struggle? Or the student asks another question. Aho kaschit vidwan அமும் லோகம் சமஷ்ணுதே. கஷ்டித் வித்வான், எனி வைஸ் பர்சன், தேர் எனி இக்னரண்ட் பர்சன் ஏர்லியர், நவ் எனி வைஸ் பர்சன், வில் எ வைஸ் மேன் அட்டைன் அமும் லோகம். எகெயின் அமும் லோகம் ஹியர் மீன்ஸ் பிரம்மா, த சேம் அஸ் ஏர்லியர். ஸோ இன்ஸ்டெட் ஆஃப் கச்சதி ஹியர் இட் இஸ் சமஷ்ணுதே, தட் இஸ் த வேர்ட் தட் இஸ் ஹியர். வில் ஹி அட்டைன் தட் பிரம்ம பதம் ஆர் நாட், பரம பதம் ஆர் நாட், எ வைஸ் மேன். ஸோ பிரேத்திய பிரேத்திய அகெயின் ஸ்மிருத்வா, மரண அனந்தரம், ஆஃப்டர் டெத், after death will he attain, will a wise man will he attain brahman. So as we see now, answer for both of them, they appear tricky. So the student is really trying to corner the teacher. This is called actually gudabhisandhi. In Sanskrit, you keep something in mind and then you ask a question. Actually Swamiji tells, there are some people who live only by borrowing things from others. They don't buy anything for themselves. They always borrow things from others only. For example, suppose the neighbor gets two newspapers, one Hindu and one Indian Express, whatever it is. Then the neighbor will ask him, he will ask, are you reading Hindu now? That's what he will ask. Then this person thinks, maybe he might try to borrow that. So he says, no, I am reading that. Then immediately will say, so let me borrow the Indian Express. So either way, he is going to corner him to get what he wants. So these are all people who have something in mind when they ask a question. We can call those people, they have an agenda. They have an intention in mind, that is called Guda Abhisandhi. In Vedanta arguments, often this kind of situations will be coming. Whatever answer you give, they will try to corner you. In Vedanta, it's very common. So Abhisandhi means opinion. Abhisandhi is opinion. And Guda means which is hidden. Which is hidden, with a hidden intention, they ask question. So it is not an innocent question, it is a question with some intention, it has a hidden agenda in that question. So in this recitation here, there is this who. When you kaschana gacchati kaschit samashnuta who, there is this who, that is hanging who. Shankaracharya actually, he tries to interpret what that who also means. This U is an indication of the word Uta. Uta means, in the first question, we had the Uta. Uta, avidvan, amum lokam pretya. That Uta, the same Uta, that is indicated here by U. So we have to add Tha to that and make it Uta. So U plus Tha will be Uta. So this Uta, it should be joined with Aho. Aho vidvan, amum lokam pretya. So that aho, so utaho it should be. Utaho means otherwise. Utaho means otherwise. So will a wise man attain Brahman after marana? So will an ignorant person attain Brahman after marana? Or will a wise man attain Brahman after marana? So the question is so direct. But Shankaracharya, he makes actually another point into this question. About both these questions, will a wise man attain Brahman? Will an ignorant person attain Brahman? These are the two questions. But Shankaracharya, he raises a point of grammar also here. So how many questions the student asked here? The student has asked only two questions. Will an ignorant man attain or will a jnani attain? But Shankaracharya says, how can there be only two questions? Because the Upanishad has introduced it as an anuprashnaha, athato anuprashnaha. That anuprashnaha, the anuprashnaha, that prashnaha means it is plural. In Sanskrit, we don't have just only singular and plural. We have got singular, dual and plural. Whereas in English, we have got singular and plural only. So because this is actually, when we have this singular, dual and plural, Swamiji calls this a big dual. This dual, singular, dual and plural, is the dual means fight. Always that is a problem, this dual. So if there are only two questions, the Upanishad should have said anuprashnav. But it said anuprashnaha. So that means it is not dual. There are not just only two questions. There should be more than two questions because it is plural. More than two is plural in Sanskrit. So there must be minimum at least three questions. More than two should be there. So what do we do here? How do we supply the third question? The Acharya, he tries to solve this in two ways. This question of how many questions. So the first is, you may take each one of the questions to mean as two things. As what? Will an ignorant man attain Brahman or not? So will he attain Brahman or not? So that becomes two questions. And also, will a wise man attain Brahman or not? That becomes another two questions. So in effect, one has four questions. So it becomes prashnaha, becomes plural. So vidwan gachati or vidwan na gachati. And avidwan gachati va na gachati va na gachati. So this is one of the ways of solving the problem. And there is another method also Acharya adopts to solve this. If one is not satisfied with this answer, because if you ask, will you come or not to somebody, for example, you are inviting somebody to home tomorrow, and you are asking the question, will you come or not? Will you be able to come or not? Is it one question or two questions? It is only the same question, which is being asked that way, but it is only the same question only. So here Acharya gives another solution. He says the third question is implied here. And what is that? He says, you are talking about attaining Brahman or not. That is a question. But both these are possible only when there is Brahman. So attaining Brahman or not attaining Brahman are both possible only when there is Brahman. So the first question therefore should be, is Brahman there or not? And according to Shankaracharya, that is the implied question. The first question should be whether there is Brahman or not. So if there is Brahman, will a wise man attain it? If there is Brahman, will an ignorant man attain it? That should be the three questions. So this is an implied question. Only when there is a Brahman, there is the question of whether the wise man or ignorant person will reach or not. So we have to supply the first question here. Brahma asti va na va. That is the question. Right. And the second question will be, if Brahman is there, will an ignorant man reach it? Third question will be, Brahman is there, will an ignorant and wise man reach it? Now, you should not doubt this solution at all, because the question is very possible. Because we may not say Shankaracharya, he wanted to introduce this question just because that is this grammatical point. So he wanted to bring another question. One cannot think that way, because we have already seen in the Upanishad, Brahman is not an object of experience. The Upanishad very clearly said, Brahman is not an object of experience. And so a student can doubt whether Brahman itself exists or not, because it's not available as an object of experience for all our sense of perception. So Brahmanaha nirvishayatvat, because it is not available for any object of as an object of experience. So sarva pramana agocharatvat, a student can ask this question. And because Upanishad itself declares that he can ask this question, Shankaracharya interprets that this should be the implied question, whether Brahman is there or not. And not only that, this question is derived by Shankaracharya based on a clue in the Upanishad itself. He did not supply the question again, as I told, because of some grammar reason. And based on what clue he said? Previously, the Rig Mantra quotation that we used, it said, if a person says Brahman is existent, then he is existent. If one says Brahman is non-existent, then he is also non-existent. That is what Upanishad said. That's what we saw in the previous webinars. So this very statement indicates what? When somebody asks, if a person says Brahman is existent, he is existent. If he says Brahman is non-existent, then he himself is non-existent. That means what? There are some people who may agree that Brahman is existent, and there are some others who may say that Brahman is not existent. So they have the doubt on the existence of Brahman. So that is why the Rig Veda quotation itself has this that way. Because the very word if Brahman existent, the very word if indicates doubt or samshaya. Okay. And so one question is very definitely whether Brahman is there or not. Brahma asti va. So according to the second interpretation of Shankaracharya, we have now three questions. Now we have to answer all the three questions. The Upanishad has to proceed to answer all the three questions, and the rest of Brahmanandavalli, the rest of the entire Upanishad is to in the form of answering these three questions. Out of which actually the first question is elaborately answered in the entire, almost the entire portion of Brahmanandavalli. And the last two questions, they are only very concisely answered in one canto towards the very end. So the rest of the discussions, a major portion of the discussion now is going to be in the form of answering the question, Brahman is there or Brahman is not there? Brahma asti pata. So that is the question. So now we have to look at the answer for that. So Upanishad itself will try to help us understand this answer. So we'll read. So kamayata bahusyam prajayeti satapotapyata satapastaptva idagum sarvamasrujata yaditankincha. So this is the portion we'll read up to here, and that will try to we'll try to understand how these questions are answered through these portions. As we'll hear also, the Upanishad does not directly answer this question whether Brahman is there or not. It does not directly answer, but the Upanishad is going on teaching Vedanta. It goes on teaching the crux of Vedanta, and the portion in the process of understanding Vedanta through this portion, one can also infer the answers to this question. So that is how the Upanishad develops. That is how Acharya tries to help us understand the answer for this question. So if anybody casually reads this portion, one may feel that these are not answers to the question at all. If you just take this Upanishad book and just casually read, we will find that there is no answer to these questions at all. So Shankaracharya, in Shankara's commentary, he takes each portion and he asserts that each portion points out a reason why we should understand that Brahman exists. So that is the way Shankaracharya approaches it in his commentary. So he divides the following portions actually into seven sections. The Acharya divides the following to seven sections, and each section is pointed out as a proof for the existence of Brahman. So that is how Acharya develops this section. So Sapta Yuktayaha, seven reasons. He is giving seven reasons for that. So this portion that we just read is taken as the first reason to establish the existence of Brahman. And what it says, Brahma Asti Jagat Karanatvat. That is how that analyzes it. Brahman is existent because it is the cause for this universe. Brahman is Jagat Karana. That means what? In this portion, Brahman is described as the Karanam for this universe, and the world is described as Karyam. So Brahman is described as the Karanam, and the world, the universe, is described as the Karyam, the effect. And based on that, Shankaracharya says, if Karyam is existent, if the effect is seen, if the effect is existent, then the Karanam also must exist. The Karyam has to exist, Karanam also must exist. If there is a son, there must be a father. There cannot be a son without a father. If there is a building, there must be a builder. So for everything, there must be the Karanam. So if there is creation, then necessarily there must be a creator also. So that is how Shankaracharya, he squeezes out the meaning out of this section. This section is a very tricky and nice section. So here is how the Upanishad, it talks about Srishti. The Upanishad, how it talks about Srishti, creation. So what happened before Srishti and how the Srishti came out of the Lord. That's what this is talking about here. And actually, we should remember here, in the beginning part of the Upanishad also, Srishti was talked. When we started the beginning portions of the Upanishad, the elaborate discussion on creation was talked. But there, it was only as Adhyaropa Prakaranam for revealing Brahman, Adhyaropa method. So Adhyaropa Artham, it was for revealing the Brahman. And in this portion, Srishti is talked about to prove Brahman's existence. So here is Brahma Astitva Siddhyartham. So there it is to reveal Brahman. Here it is to establish the existence of Brahman. And not only that, in this Srishti Prakaranam, an additional point also is given. Previously, when Srishti was talked about, Brahman as the Upadana Karanam alone was emphasized. Upadana Karanam means material cause. I hope you remember these terms, which I already described earlier. Brahman was described as the Upadana Karanam, material cause. Tasmadva etasmad atmanaha akashasambhutaha akashadvayuhu vayoragnihi agnerapaha adhyaprativi prithivya oshadayaha oshadvibhyavannam. So this entire prakaranam, the srishti vichara, the entire thing went through that. So the Brahman was talked about as the jagat karanam, the cause for this universe, emphasizing the upadana karanam, namely the material cause. That was emphasized at that time. But here what is pointed out is, Brahman is not only the upadana karanam, the material cause. Brahman is also the nimitta karanam, the intelligent cause. So Brahman is also the upadana karanam. Now it is the nimitta karanam also. That means Brahman is abhinna nimitta upadana karanam jagataha. So Brahman is both the nimitta karanam and upadana karanam for this jagat, for this universe. Okay, when we say Brahman is abhinna nimitta upadana karanam, is it suddham Brahma or maya sahitam Brahma? That question also will come. When we talk about that Brahman, is it Shuddha Chaitanyam, Shuddham Brahma, or whether it is Maya Sagitam Brahma, Brahman associated with Maya? And again, we have to remember, Shuddham Brahma is Naiva Karanam Nacha Karyam. Shuddham Brahma is just the entity. It is not Karanam nor Karyam also. Najayate Mriyadeva Kachite Vipaschite Nayam Kutaschite Nabhutvam Kachite. So that is what the Gita describes. It does not come from anything. Means what? It is not karyam of anything at all. Brahman has not come from anything. There is no karanam for Brahman. That means Brahman is not karyam at all. And nothing has come out of it also. That means what? It is not karanam for anything also. So Brahman is not karyam. Brahman is not karanam. So Shuddham Brahma is neither karanam nor karyam. So when we say it is a karanam, Brahman is the karanam, then it should be maya sahitam Brahma only. It should not be shuddham Brahma. So that is another small detail that we have to understand. So this maya sahitam Brahma alone is called Ishwaraha. Actually, those who also attend the Tattva Bodha classes, that is the reason why Tattva Bodha is kind of a prerequisite for people to understand Upanishads and other Vedanta. There we elaborately described about how Ishwara is Chitta Chaitanyam plus Maya. So this is Maya, and this Maya Sahitam Brahman, that is what this Ishwaraha is. That Maya Sahitam Brahman is what is called here as Ishwara. And so we can say Ishwaraha is Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karana. So it is not Brahman. We say Brahman, we should understand it is Ishwaraha, Maya Sahitam Brahman. So what is the analogy given actually in the Mundaka Upanishad for that? Actually, Mundaka Upanishad gives a very beautiful analogy. Yathorna nadim srijate grinnate cha. So the spider, when the spider, when it makes its web, where is the material for the web coming from? It is coming from the spider only. And how the spider, it makes the web? It makes the web by itself. So the intelligent cause for making the web is the spider itself, and also the material cause for bringing out the material to cast the web is also the spider. Similarly, here also Ishwaraha is not only the nimitta karanam, is also the intelligent cause. It is also the upadana karanam, the material cause also for this entire srishti. So, and what does this Ishwara do? Saha akamayata, so akamayata, saha akamayata. That Ishwara means the maya sagitam Brahma. That Ishwara akamayata, he desired. That Ishwara desired. So sankalpam kritavan, that's what Shankaracharya writes. He had a plan. He has a design. He has a sankalpam in his mind. And this word also indicates that Brahman is nimitta karana, because he desired. Because whoever does the sankalpa, whoever makes the plan, a design, or you know, the kamanam, he desires, who makes the kamanam, that person, that must be always the nimitta karanam. Because a material, mere material cannot do that. A mere material cannot design anything, cannot plan anything. So the moment he desired, when it is indicated the Brahman desired, that means that is the Nimitta Karanam. Upadana Karanam can never does any sankalpa at all, cannot desire anything. So the word Akamayata indicates Brahman is Nimitta Karanam. Okay. And because the rule is Nimitta Karanam will be Chetana Vastu. It should be Chetana. It cannot be Achetanam. It should be Chetana. The potter, the Nimitta Karanam of pot is Chetana. The goldsmith, the Nimitta Karanam of an ornament, he is a Chetana Vastu. Chetana. So always the Nimitta Karanam is the intelligent cause, desires to produce something. That is his plan. And who visualizes the whole thing beforehand, the plan, the sankalpa, tapas, kama, etc. of the whole creation. How does the Lord visualizes the creation? That is the next question, based on the previous creation. How does the Lord visualizes this creation? Based on the previous creation. And why the previous creation should be thought about? Why the Lord should think of the previous creation to design this creation? Because in the previous creation, the jivas have done so many varieties of punyam and papam. They have engaged themselves in so many actions, many of them leading to varieties of punya and papa, which all require varieties of lokas, vishayas, sukhanubhava, dukkhanubhava, various sarirams. So they have to have all these to enjoy or suffer the punyam or papa. For that they need entire thing. So the visualization is how this creation should be so that the jivas, punyas and papas can be exhausted. And that is the design the Lord makes to create the various lokas. So from that it is also clear that the Lord desire to create is not because that he needs the creation himself. Lord's desire to create is not because he needs it for himself, but because the jivas need the creation for exhausting their own punya papas, resulting out of their own actions. Then we will ask, why do we say that like this? Because if the Lord creates the world for his own enjoyment, let us assume, we say Lord, he has nothing else to do. So he wants to make this place for his own enjoyment. He wants to create this world because he is either bored or something, nothing else to do. Then what would that mean? That would mean the Lord's apurnatvam. Lord's purnatvam is not there. His apurnaha, then it will become. Then the Lord also will become an ajnani, a samsari. An ajnani always thinks that he is not purnaha, right? He always thinks that he lacks something. He is limited. So Lord also will become limited. So Lord's desire is not born out of his avidya or ignorance or ahankara or limitation, but Lord's desire is for the sake of the fulfillment of the jivas karmas, the punya papas of all jivas. And so Lord's desire is that of a jnani's loka sangraha. Krishna talks about loka sangraha in the Bhagavad Gita for the betterment of the world. For that, the jnani goes through a lot of activities for the betterment of the world. So here also, the Lord's desire is for loka sangraha, so that the jivas, punya papas, they all could be fulfilled. It is a non-binding desire. The Lord's desire is a non-binding desire. And again, why we should emphasize this? Because otherwise, the sentence can create a problem. When we read the sentence, it can create a problem otherwise. One may think that we only have the desire problem. Because all of us, we all have the problem of desire. From the Upanishad, it seems the Lord also has the problem of desire. One might perhaps, this is how, you know, when people quote all these Upanishads and all in the wrong context, without understanding the complete meaning or without going through a proper learning, it will all give rise to all kinds of various issues. So he should be then Sarvajnaha, Sarvashaktiman. The Lord should be indicated by Asaha Akamayata. So the Lord, he is Sarvajnaha. So for him, he doesn't need any of these things, but he does it to fulfill the requirements of satisfying the punya papas of all jivas. And when he visualized and decided to create this world, he found another problem also. The Lord also found another problem. There was no raw material around because the pancha bhutas themselves have not come out yet. Now everything is in pralayam and now srishti is going to start. Nothing has come out. Pancha bhutas have not come out, And so, how he will start the srishti? Because there is no raw material. So, what did he think? Bahusyam. Bahusyam praja yeyeti. That Bahusyam, let me myself become many. That is what the Lord thought. Ishwaraha. He thought, let me myself become many. Indicating that the Ishwara is the Upadana Karanam also. So, we saw in detail how Ishwara is the Nimitta Karanam. Now, the Lord himself decided to become many. So, he became the Upadana Karanam also, the material cause to become many. Because we know Upadana Karanam alone multiplies to become the Karyam. Multiply, instead of saying multiplies, it is multiply means it divides. The Lord himself, just as a wood, multiplies to become, divides to become so many furnitures. As the gold multiplies to become so many ornaments, or divides to become so many ornaments. So, as I told, multiplication, you mean division. So, he himself decides to become many. The Lord himself decides to become many. But we also know, Brahman, in its original nature, cannot be divided at all. Because Brahman is Purnam. It is indivisible. It is changeless. Brahman is changeless, indivisible. So becoming many is through what? Is through Maya. When the Upanishad says the Brahman becomes many, it is through Maya. The Lord apparently becomes many through Maya. Apparently. Mayaya, with the help of Maya, let me apparently, unreally, or seemingly, let me become many. Like what? We have a day-to-day example for that. For example, the waker, the person who is in the jagrati state, with the help of sleep, he now goes to sleep. So, Nidra, apparently during the sleep, he divides himself into Dream Karta. In the dream, he is a Dream Karta, Dream Kama, Dream Karanam. He has got Dream World, then Dream Train. He flies in a Dream Plane, and he has got a Dream Sun. All those things, they all happen. All are what? All are only myself. This is real or apparent? This is only apparent, because the moment I can wipe out of the whole thing by just coming out of my sleep, the moment I wake up, the entire thing goes away. So it is only apparent. Similarly, here also, Brahman, Mayaya, Bahusyam. Let me become many through Maya. As we do through Nidra, he does through Maya. How? Prajayaya. Prajayaya means, let me produce myself into manifold objects of the creation. So the Lord decided to divide himself into manifold objects of creation. So this sentence, Bahusyam Prajayayeti, must be at Prajayaya, should be within quotes. Prajayaya iti. It should be within quotes, indicating the thought of Ishwara. This is the thought of Ishwara. It's the Upanishad sentence. It gives out the thought of the Ishwara. This is why actually it is in the first person also, grammatically. It is in the first person. Otherwise, it should have been, Brahman decided to become many. It should have been. But the Upanishad says, let me produce many, indicating the desire or visualization of Brahman. So it is given in the first person. So word is the word saha. And again, another small detail is, the word saha is used here. Sokamayata. Saha akamayata. Saha means he. So some grammatical points are also pointed out along these lines generally. Because Brahman in Sanskrit is neuter gender. According to this one, in Sanskrit grammar, is a neuter gender. So Brahman is napumsakalinga. So neuter gender. And the word saha is pullinga. Saha akamayata. Saha is pullinga masculine. So then how can one say saha akamayata? Because Brahman is neuter. So it should have been actually tat akamayata instead of saha akamayata. The pronoun should be generally in keeping with the noun. So if the noun is neuter, the pronoun also should be neuter. So Brahman is the noun, pronoun should be it instead of he. Here it is saha means he. So for that also the answer is given. Here it is used actually in the sense of Ishwaraha, not as Brahman, in the sense of Ishwaraha, because it is Maya Sahitam Brahman. So it is not Brahman as used here, it is as Ishwaraha, which is masculine. So Saha Ishwaraha or Saha Brahma Swarupaha Ishwaraha Atma So akamayata, that decide, that Ishvara, that decide. So it is within course. So let me become many and let me produce myself into many. That is how the Lord Ishvara thought. That is why Saha is used as masculine. Therefore, Brahman is Nimitta Upadanancha. Is both Nimitta Karanam and also Upadana Karanam. And what did he do? Saha Tapaha Atapyata. Satapo Tapyata Saha Tapaha Atapyata. Then that Brahman, he performed tapas. That Brahman, first he desired to, and then he desired to divide into many. And having desired to divide into many, the Brahman performed, Ishvaraha performed tapas. And here also we should understand the word tapas clearly. It means, in actually, the in Mundaka Upanishad, tapas is very clearly defined as what? Yaha sarvajnaha sarvavit yasya jnanamayam tapaha. Yasya jnanamayam tapaha. Sarvajnaha sarvavit yasya jnanamayam tapaha. The tapas is nothing but the jnanatmakam. Jnanatmakam is the visualization. Jnanatmakam is the visualization of the whole thing that is to come about. So the Lord visualized the whole thing, the entire creation, visualized it. So previously he had kama. Kama, that is desiring. He desired to divide into many. The exhaustion of the karma of the jivas, that was the purpose. The Lord desired to help exhaust the karmas, the punya papas of all the jivas. And here tapaha means visualizing the type of lokas, the entire plan of action, the type of lokas, the type of vishayas, sense objects to be created, so that they will all enable the jivas to exhaust their punya papas. Depending on whatever punya papas they have to go through so many different types of experiences in varieties of lokas. Some may be in bhuloka, some may be in bhurloka, so many things. Your greatest punyavan may be even in satya loka. So they may have to be in various lokas, enjoying or suffering various experiences. They all have to be fulfilled. So tapaha means visualizing the type of lokas and the type of vishayas. Vishayas means sense objects to be created. And for Brahman, tapas does not mean the tapas of various people. You know, various people do so much of tapas. Sitting in Padmasana posture, some people sit in that posture. Some people do pranayama so many times. They do all these rechakam, kumbhakam, purakam, all these pranayama, standing in one leg. Some people stand upside down, hanging from a tree. People go through so many things of tapas. For a lot of people, maunam itself is tapas. Actually, Upanishad declares so many things as tapas in various ways. So those tapas, they don't apply to Brahman. So Brahman's tapas is what? Is only visualization of how to design the various lokas to help enable the jivas exhaust their punya papas. Then what would be the next question logically? How can Brahman visualize? Because this is a very tricky point. How can Brahman visualize? Because visualization requires what? Visualization of anything requires mind. And then the intellect. And there is no mind to Brahman. Because mind itself is not produced yet. Actually, this is, again, I have to go back only to Tattva Bodha. Because when you go through the Srishti Prakarana in Tattva Bodha, first the Panja Bhutas have to come. And from the subtle aspect of the Panja Bhutas, then have to come from the sattvic aspect of them. Then all the five sense organs, and all the four antakaranas, the shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha, all the five sense organs, and also the four antakaranas, namely mind, intellect, manas, buddhi, chitta, and ahankara, all four have to evolve. So all these nine, they evolve out of the sattva aspect of this maya. They all have to come because that itself has not produced. These Panja Bhutas themselves are not produced yet. Then how come from the sattva aspect of these Panja Bhutas, all these things like the mind and all, how can they evolve? So they have not even come yet. So since Brahman does, and if that is the question, then we say Brahman does not require a mind at all like ours for visualization. For us humans, if we need to visualize anything, we need the mind, intellect, and everything. But for Brahman, he does not require any mind for visualization. With the help of Maya, Brahman visualizes. That is what. So we visualize using the mind and intellect, whereas Brahman visualizes using Maya. And because of that visualization, so Brahman's or Ishwara's mind is Maya. As we have mind for ourselves, Brahman or Ishwara, he has Maya for his visualization. So we visualize with Manovritti. Vritti means thoughts. With thoughts in the mind, we visualize, whereas Ishwara visualizes with Maya Vritti. With all the thoughts in the Maya. With that, the Ishwara visualizes about all the lokas, all the sense objects, all the vishayas, everything the Lord visualizes, the Maya Vritti. So our tapaha is what? Maya Vrityatmakam Tapaha. That is how we should understand here. Tapaha, the word tapaha, it is not Maya Vrityatmakam Tapaha. And we need not have to ask whether Maya Vritti is possible or not, because that is also a question we may have. But we should not ask that question whether Maya Vritti is possible or not, because it is certainly possible. Because of what? Maya is Savikaram. Brahman is Nirvikaram. Brahman is Nirvikaram. And Maya is Savikaram. Only Brahman cannot have thoughts, because it is Nirvikaram, whereas Maya can, because Maya is Savikaram. It is endowed with all these changes. So in Maya, changes and vrittis or sankalpas, they are all possible in Maya. All the thoughts can change, as we have thoughts changing in our mind. In Maya, they all can. So saha, tapaha, taptva. Having performed such tapas. Actually, this is the Maya, the vrittis, the various vrittis in the Maya. That is indicated actually by saha, tapaha, atapyata. It is indicated by the statement. So, Maya can have so many of these vrittis for the Lord to visualize, to design the Jagat, this universe. So, saha, tapaha, taptva. Having performed such tapas. Saha. Tapaha, tapaha, having performed, the Lord having performed such tapas, idagum sarvam asrijata. Satapo tapyata, satapas taptvam, idagum sarvam asrijata. So, idagum sarvam asrijata. He created the whole world. Idam sarvam. Idam means this pratyaksha gocharam. So, sarvam asrijata. This entire universe, as we see, the Lord created the entire universe. When it is said, idam sarvam, is there any exception to that? We can ask that question also. Upanishad doesn't leave any doubt anywhere. Yadidam kincha. Idagam sarvam asrijata. Yadidam kincha. So, yadidam kincha, whatever is obtaining here. So, whatever is obtaining in this universe. So, it is emphasized, whatever we see in this world, whatever we see and experience in this world, secular or sacred, whatever it is. Whether it is beautiful or ugly, whatever we can see, we can think of, whatever we see and experience, the Lord created all of them. There is nothing left. Everything was created by the Lord. So Shankaracharya, he very quietly, he makes a comment here. He says, Tasmat Brahman Asti. So the entire discussion started for what? Shankaracharya wanted to establish that the argument whether Brahman exists or not, the answer to that question is implied in this section. And even though Upanishad does not directly give the answer to that question, after going through these comments, Shankaracharya quietly says, Tasmat Brahma Asti. Actually, when we are absorbed in the entire story of creation, we might perhaps forget for what reason we started this discussion. Shankaracharya suddenly comes and he reminds, Brahma asti va nasti, nasti va, question is answered. When the student asks whether Brahman is there or not, actually that question itself is supplied by Shankaracharya because of the grammatical irregularity. Atatonu prashnaha, prashnaha should be plural, whereas there are only two questions, it is not dual. So Shankaracharya planted this question and he himself helped answer this question through this section, Tasmat Brahma asti. Therefore, there is Brahman. Brahman is the existent. So he connects this portion to the question and says, Brahma asti jagadaka jagat karanatva. Brahman is there because Brahman is the karanam, is the cause for this universe. That is what Shankaracharya says. Actually, having concluded that the question of whether Brahman is there or not, he comes actually to the next section. The Acharya gives there the second reason. Because as we told, the Acharya divided this into about seven sections. And he is now going to give the second reason actually for the same question. First reason, Jagat Karanatva, because of the cause of the universe, both the Upadana Karanam and Nimitta Karanam. Both is the Lord for this universe. Because of that, Brahman is there. So Brahman exists. The existence of Brahman is revealed through this answer first, and the Acharya will try to interpret it, answer the second question, the second reason also, based on the discussion further from the Upanishad, which we will see in the next webinar.